Okay, this is K2EIR, Kilowatt 2 Echo India Romeo, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association and Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Okay, and we'll just abbreviate that BARA and Chestnut Ridge Technical Net. Gordon W2TTT is away, and I will be in that control for tonight. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Any stations having emergency traffic, please call K2VIR. Nothing heard, and we all agree that's a good thing. And a reminder or note to self, we should take standbys and pauses through the net just in case someone really comes across our activity and needs help. We should be able to let them in. Okay, once again, the BARA Chestnut Ridge Technical Net. It meets on this repeater, which is 146.955, and it has tone access of 141.3. The repeater is located in Alpine, New Jersey, and the net is open to all radio amateurs. All licensed hams are welcome. And you can access the repeater via Echolink at K2-Juliet-L. The L is for link. So once again, if you need to come in via Echolink, K2-FJ/L or dash L. And the mission of the technical net is to relate to all things and discuss all things regarding amateur radio, telecom, computers, broadly speaking, things that you wish to do again, things that you want to be sure you never do again. We cover a variety of subjects, and we're here really to serve others. The net really revolves about the fact that everyone contributes. And in that light, I'd like to suggest that anyone listening who's licensed check in whether or not you have a comment or not. You can just stand by, but we'd like to get a list of all the listeners as well as those people who have active participation. As we call up the stations, we'd like you to tell us whether you... Let me let this reset. Okay, as we call up the net, we'd like you to tell us whether you have a comment, a question, an item for sale or an item wanted, or an announcement. You can listen to almost all the past nets that have occurred on this frequency, that is the technical nets, by going to amateurradio.tv. That's all you have to put into your browser, amateurradio.tv. A page will come up that lists various nets that have been captured. You want to go to the BARA section, click on 2015, and you'll get a bunch of dates, and you can listen to anything recent, or you can go years back. So the net is captured, and you can listen to any past issue except the very first three. I'd like to also mention that there is a Yahoo group that Gordon W2TTT is the moderator for. That Yahoo group is ComTech Group. That's spelled COMTECHGROUP. ComTech Group, all one word, and you can post things there. It supplements this net. So, as I quote the master, Gordon, without further ado, we'll launch into our call-up. Echolink stations, we want to call you separately, but I think tonight I'll experiment and call you somewhere in the middle. But do not respond to the regular call-up if you're on Echolink. Wait till we ask for Echolink stations, please. Thank you. Okay, stand by one moment. Again, this is K2EIR with the BARA Chestnut Ridge Technical Net, and tonight we will begin with November's Any station whose call sign begins with November N, please call K2EIR now. Nothing heard. Okay, so we will go to Whiskey's because we started with Alphas last week. We're going to do it in reverse. We'll go to Whiskey's. Any station beginning with W, please call me now.
WI2W. Steve, with an announcement.
Okay, we acknowledge WI2W with an announcement, and someone doubled with him. The other station, please go now.
This is W2PDQ, Richard, Clifton, New Jersey. Just listening in.
Fine, Richard. Welcome aboard. Always glad to have you. And thank you for your contribution last week with the soundboard that would give you a call for only $20. Like that. Okay, any other W's? Call K2EIR now.
Jim in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
Okay, we got a couple of doubles. Stand by. Okay, I'm trying to find Jim's call because it was covered up. Okay, WA2UMP, Jim, and refresh me, Jim, comment, question, or nothing?
Some wisdom this evening. Howie, just listening.
Roger, we'll put that as none of the above. Very good. So there was another station. Another W, please call K2EIR.
This is W2JEK, Don with an announcement.
Roger, Don with an announcement. Very good. Any other W's?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
Roger, Charlie. Got you. Any other W's? Nothing heard. Okay, I told you I'd do things a little differently tonight. I'm going to try to take Echolink stations now, then we'll resume the regular call-up. I'm just doing this because I know it's a long call-up, and sometimes it's hard to wait. And we just thought we'd spread it around a little bit, sort of in fairness, right? So any Echolink stations that wish to join the Bergen Amateur Radio Association and Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net, please call K2EIR now.
This is November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu, N2VHZ. Over the N2VHZ repeater here in Alliance, Nebraska. Name here is Ken, Kilo Echo November. Back to net. Oh, sorry. No comments, no nothing, just listening. Back to net.
Roger, Ken. Very good. Ken, I'd like to suggest that you back off your microphone just a tad, just a little bit. There are times where it seems to be going into distortion a little bit, and the intelligibility would be helped if you just back off a little bit. Okay, any other Echolink stations, please call K2EIR.
K2EIR.
Connected KD2FIG.
Kilo Delta 2 Foxtrot India Golf in Carteret, New Jersey, with no traffic.
Roger, Lewis. Lewis, very good, we have you. Any other stations on Echolink? This is K2EIR. Nothing heard. Okay, we'll resume our regular call-up. Any station beginning with Kilo 2 only, not Kilo Delta, not Kilo Bravo, Kilo 2. Any stations with K, please call now.
K2AMI, Tony, with the announcement, I guess you'd say. K2AMI with an announcement.
Roger, Tony. Very good. We have you. Any other Kilos?
K2GFM, other than saying thank you for filling in for Gordon, just listening tonight.
Roger, and I am I remembering correctly, your name is Greg?
That's correct, Howie. It's Greg.
Okay, and I know I keep mixing up the call, whether it's Golf Foxtrot Mike or Golf Sierra Mike. It's Golf Foxtrot, isn't it?
Kilo 2, Golf Foxtrot Mike.
Roger. Very good. Thank you. Okay, any other kilos?
KD2, FTA, and name here is Alex with a question.
Okay, Alex, we've got you with your question. Any other Kilo 2s, before I go on to Kilo Deltas, Kilo Bravos, etc., any other Kilo 2s? Okay, nothing, so we'll open it up to any other Kilos, Kilo Alpha, Kilo Bravo, Kilo Charlie, Kilo Delta, any other Kilos?
K2EIR, KM4, GHN. Monitoring from Dobbs Ferry, New York. Name's Mitch.
Roger, Mitch. We'll put you down for none of the above. Okay, any other Kilos?
KC2CMA, Marco. Just listening.
Roger, Marco. We'll put you down for none of the above. Any other Kilos? Being heard. Okay, I just want to try November's again. Any station call beginning with November, call Kilo 2 Echo India Romeo. Oh, November's okay, other than the N2VHC, of course. We'll move on. I'll just start at the top. Any Alphas? Any one's call beginning with Alpha, please call now.
AC2GI, the name is Rich. Two questions.
Roger, Rich, we have you down for two questions. Any other Alphas? Nothing heard. Okay, I think I can open it up to any call letter, and we'll take one more standby after that for EchoLink. But non-EchoLink stations, any call letters for the Barra, Chestnut Ridge, Technical Net, please call K2EIR.
To add in a comment, KD2FIG, over here.
Okay, Lewis, we'll change you to a comment. Any other stations? Nothing heard. Okay, the net's smaller than last week. We've got 14 stations as compared to something like 21 last week. Welcome, all of you. So we'll start with the listings. Once again, this is the Barra Chestnut Ridge Technical Net, and I will take one. I promised I would check for EchoLink stations, so let me do that one more time before we get into getting into the meat of the net, so to speak. Any other EchoLink stations? This is K2EIR. Nothing heard. Okay. So we have a few people listing announcements. Let's start at the top, WI2W. Steve, please go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. This is WI2W, Steve. This coming Sunday is the Barra auction, our once-a-year annual auction. For sellers, plan to arrive at 12 noon, and buyers for 1 p.m. That's when the auction starts, so hopefully we'll see everybody there. If you go to our website, www.barra.org, that's B-A-R-A.org, you'll see a listing for the auction. You can click on more information. It gives you all the details, and there's even a button you can press to get some directions if you need to know how to get there. Our webmaster recently added that, so that's good. And of special note, Tony and Mary's famous sausage and peppers, Italian-style sausage and peppers. So there's going to be some good food there, some other food as well, and soft drinks and whatever. There's no cost to come into the auction. The sellers pay a 12% fee on the final sale price if their item sells to a bidder. We usually get a pretty good turnout, lots of tables, and lots of buyers, and lots of sellers. So We just say that primarily it's for amateur radio gear. If you have lots of little things, you know, a couple capacitors or resistors, we're not going to auction them off one at a time, but you're welcome to either put them in a bundle and sell them for a group price, or put them over on one of the side tables and sell them yourself. And Barrett would appreciate a commission on those sales as well. But that's up to you. It's the honor system there. Anyway, with that, back to Ned. K2BAR, WI2W.
I received March 15th, this Sunday. Very good. And I've been to one, and there was a very good turnout. So I expect that will be duplicated, especially with Tony and Mary's food, huh? Okay. Thank you very much for that announcement. I have a feeling, well, I know what Don's announcement typically takes, so let me just go over to Tony's announcement first, and then we'll go to Don's announcement, and then we'll get into the questions. By the way, last week we had a station that we never got to. He wasn't there when we finally ended, about 2 hours after we started. So if Gene, KC2WTC, is listening, do check in. We'll take your question first because you waited all that time last week. So do check in. And speaking of check-ins, let me take one more standby before we go to Tony's announcement and then Don's. Anyone checking in to the Barra Chestnut Ridge Technical Net, please call K2EIR. Nothing heard. Okay, Tony, you've got the soapbox.
Okay, and it's not about sausage and peppers yet. It'll be on Sunday. But the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club is going to be holding a special presentation on FL Digi. It'll be on March the 20th. It's a Friday night, 7 p.m. at the Fairlawn Community Center. And that's at 1010 20th Street in Fairlawn. FL Digi is an excellent computer program. It's used coding. Many of the software programs, the digital programs, Quiddity and K232, I'm sure many of you use it. But if you'd like to know some more about it, please come March the 20th to the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club special meeting. That's, of course, Friday next week. Thank you very much.
Roger, Tony. Thank you for your announcement. Okay, Don, I kept you waiting. W2JEK, go ahead. K2VIR.
K2VIR, W2JEK, good evening, everybody. Yes, announcement is about Barra's next test session, the E-test session. It's going to be held on Friday night on March 27th at 7 p.m. And again, it's at the Westwood Regional High School. And if you're coming, you'll need $15 for a test fee. What form of photo ID, such as a driver's license or passport, or two forms of non-photo ID. And you may need your social security number if you do not already have a license, or get an FRN number from the FCC. Or, if you are already licensed, bring your license and a copy of that license. And when you fill out your form, you will use your FRN number on the form instead of the social security number, because the FCC will have already had that because they have the FRN number. And you may bring a calculator. Memory must be empty, and the other devices such as cell phones, iPods, etc. may not be used as calculators. And keep in mind that the general class question pool change on June 30th. If to July 1st, there will be a new question pool in effect. Back to
that,
W2JEK.
Very good, Don. Thank you. Don, is the club holding any classes, you know, general or tech or extra classes?
I'm not sure right now. I know that there was some talk about this. Let me check my Barra bulletin. I think there was something. I'll come back in a few minutes with that. You go on with the rest of the... questions and whatnot. Back to
W2JK. Roger, okay. Tony, is Fairlawn holding any classes? K2AMI from K2EIR. Okay, Tony probably stopped away from the rig. Okay, so I'll make an announcement for those who need a class. I know that the Westchester Emergency Communications Association is holding a general class starting on March 17th, and they meet every Tuesday night, I think probably around 7 o'clock. 7 to 9:15 at the Westchester Fire Training Academy in Valhalla, New York. You can contact me or look up weca.org for more details. So if you need a class, you might have to travel a little bit since most of the people here are in New Jersey, but there are classes for people who want to learn and get a license. Okay, enough with announcements. We have people with questions, etc. But one more standby. Anyone who wants to join the Barra Chestnut Ridge TechNet, call K2EIR.
K2AMI. Was there a question I missed?
Yeah, Tony. Is Fairlawn holding any amateur radio classes, you know, for general or tech or whatever?
At the present time. Not at the present time.
Gotcha. Okay. And then I'm happy I made the announcement for WECA. Okay, let me go look at our list. We have a question. I'm going to take questions first, and then we'll get to comments. We have a question from Alex, KD2FDA. Go ahead.
Hey, this is KD2. Good evening, everyone. Last night, or I thought I read yesterday, there was a solar flare or a X-ray flare. Has anybody had any experiences on any of the bands? I know that earlier today, 20 meters digital, I was operating PSK31, the band just went dead all of a sudden, and I don't know if there was any occurrence that was tied to that. So I'm going to send it back to folks on the net here. Did anybody hear about it? That's the first question. And second, if anybody had any experience. KD2FTA with the net, back over to net control.
Roger, Alex. Okay. Anybody that can answer Alex's question?
2AMI with a comment about it.
Go ahead, Tony.
I haven't personally looked into it, but if you go to the NASA site, I understand there is some definite information, including a possible picture of the event. It's related to NASA and their activity, not to ham radio, but you might find it interesting. And I don't know the exact URL for the NASA site, but you can find it, I'm sure. Just Google NASA or Google even recent sunspot activity.
Okay, sounds like a good tip. Thank you, Tony. Alex, are you satisfied?
Yeah, Roger that. It doesn't sound like anybody had any adverse experience on the net this evening. I was having contacts right and left on 20 meters earlier in the day, and it just went blank. And everybody, when they came back on a little while later, like a couple hours later, the net was buzzing about this X-ray flare that happened yesterday, and I guess the effects of it were making their way known today. Anyway, thanks for the answer, and appreciate the comments and the website information. KD2FTA, back over to net control.
Roger, thank you. Okay, we'll go to the next set of questions. Rich, AC2GI, you said you had two questions. You could either give us the first and come to the second later, or you can give us both right up front. Rich, go ahead.
K2BAR, AC2GI. Hello, everyone. Two things. One is trying to come up with a way to run a IBM laptop off of a 12-volt car battery without using a 12-volt DC inverter to 117 AC and then back down again. Anybody know of a power supply that would take 12 volts that I could plug into the laptop to run that? And I'll come back for the next question.
Okay, Rich, do we have any takers on the net who have some info on this K2CIR.
W2PDQ.
Roger, go ahead, Richard.
Well, you can always either use just a regular general power supply, or you can make one from a L7812, which is a little regulated power supply transistor. And that should satisfy your need, because that'll give you something clean. If you put in like a 100 muff cap to ground and a little trimming capacitor on it.
Okay. Rich, I want to ask you, AC2GI, is this laptop a ThinkPad or is it older than that?
Actually, it's probably not that older. What's the new one? The L. Lavana or something like that?
Okay, yeah, I'm not familiar with the latest. You know, they went to Lenovo and all. I haven't kept up. But I know that one of the factors, of course, is the connector. I happen to have around here a power supply, and I don't know where it is, otherwise I'd offer it to you, that plugged into the 12-volt cigarette lighter and was meant for a ThinkPad. I have so many things in storage. Again, I haven't got myself out of storage, and I don't know where anything is. But I did have that, along with one that went on 110 volts. And so, again, the output, I presume, through the connector was probably 12 volts. I think many of these laptops would take 12 to 14, but I'm not sure. That's just a factor that you can consider. And I am a little skeptical of Richard's suggestion about the 7812, because usually those only put out 1 amp. I think you might need a little bit more than that for safety margin. Richard, PDQ, do you know whether that would meet the drain of a laptop?
No, Howie, I'm not quite certain. You'd have to go put an amp meter in line and see what it's actually drawing. And on the question of the solar flare, I watch the solar flux index every day. And if you go to spaceweather.com, you'll see that there was an XT2 flare just a couple, the 11th, that was caused a radio blackout.
Good, Richard. Let's see. I guess today's the 12th, isn't it? I didn't update my calendar. Very good. Okay. Well, that fits the time frame. All right. Let's go back to Rich, AC2GI, with question number two.
I got a comment for question number one.
Okay. We'll take that first. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rich, if you go to Amazon and you put in Lenovo ThinkPad 12-volt, you'll get some adapters that come up. I'm looking at one for $16, and it lists all the different ThinkPads that it works with. So they're not too expensive. You might consider that. But either take apart the cigarette plug plastic iron directly, or just clip something onto the exposed terminals. But that's a relatively inexpensive option. So far as your second question. Know that there's an upcharge for second questions. Back to net, WITW.
W2JEK.
Okay, go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I'm curious, what kind of power does this laptop require? I mean, normally I say you have a line cord that plugs into the a wall outlet for this thing, but what kind of power does this thing actually require? Does it require 12 volts, or does it require something else? And I'm not sure what that, you know, that's another question that came to my mind, is what kind of power and how much do you require? Is it just 12 volts, or is it something else? Some of these things run at maybe 10 volts or 18 volts, or who the question over?
Typically 15 to 20 volts, around 5 amp.
K2BAR, KC2ZFM.
Okay, KC2ZFM. Do you have a question, a comment, or none of the above?
I've got a comment on the power supply, because I actually still own a
the IBM ThinkPad before it went over to Lenovo. There are two different power supplies that are available on the 120. It's a 65 watt and a 90 watt, and it looks for 18 volts. And the name is Bob.
Roger, Bob. Okay, so we're giving Rich some information. Yeah, I think if I looked at one of the IBM supplies that I have around, if I could find it, I think I'd see something like 16 volts on it. Rich, well, let me stand by. Any more comments on question number one of Rich's? Please speak now. Okay, Ken in Alliance, Nebraska, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? And thank you for the critique on the microphone. I really appreciate it. I backed off a little bit. Who wants to distort, right? So, about the solar flare, I've been trying to get in, but there's not a gap for the people on Echolink to be able to jump into. We need to have a gap, just to let you know, because we can't just, you know, double with somebody. It just won't allow us to go in once somebody transmits. So, solar flare thing, traditionally, and I agree with him, I agree with everything he said about the big switch. We call it the big switch, throwing the big switch. It's like somebody threw the big switch. I was listening to the band, boom, it went right off. Somebody threw the big switch. So that led me to believe there was a solar flare a day before or 2 days. And that's the phenomenon that it causes. It causes complete band blackout, which is kind of odd. But, you know, I did hear some stations threw it, and it brought the noise level down to zero. So we were good to go. Back to net. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Okay, Ken, I will try to heed your suggestion. It's a conflict for me because I'm trying to keep the net moving along. Last week when we went to 2 hours, again, some people never got it turned. The people who left have just gone to sleep. So I'm it's a balancing act, and I haven't become very good at it yet. But obviously we should pay attention to our Echolink members. Okay, very good. So, finally, Rich, you'll just pardon me a moment. Let me take a standby, just like Bob checked in. Does anybody else want to join the Barra Technical Net and Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net? This is K2EIR.
K2EIR, late check-in. This is KC2, Harper County, New York.
Roger, Gene. I know you listed a question last week, and I felt very bad that the net went so long we didn't get to you. So let me finish with Rich's second question, and then we will go immediately to you if you still have your question, and give you a chance before it gets any later. Okay, Rich, question number two, please. AC2GI from K2EIR.
WI2W.
Yeah, I missed some of that. It seemed like we were getting jamming or something, and or at least doubling, and I try to listen on the input. So let's stand by a moment. I think I got Rich's question about antenna, automatic antenna tuners, and you, Steve. So let's go to you first, Steve, and find out what you said, and then I'll go to Rich and find out what he said, and then we'll see if there's any third party there. So, Steve, WI2W, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Boy, Rich was quicker on the switch than me. How about that? I didn't think that was possible there. Anyway, Rich, if you're going to use this this voltage converter for your laptop for portable radio operations, before you go on your trip, you want to take the setup and go to the park and do a trial run. And make sure you're not getting RFI from a possible switching supply that's in the little device. So you want to check out before you head out. Otherwise, you might be in for disappointment. And I'll be quiet now, Howie. K2BAR, WI2W.
Hey, Steve, thank you. Glad to have your comments, and you don't have to limit them. Okay, Rich, you were talking about auto-tune, so I need you to start at the top. Again, because of mutual interference there. AC2GI from K2EIR.
K2EIR, AC2GI. The question was, with external auto-tuners, ones that are controlled, that get their data or whatever from a rig, versus the standalone ones. Anybody have opinion which way is the better? And the ones that are controlled from the rig, I'm not exactly sure how they function. If somebody can give me a very brief summary.
Okay, that's a very good question. Let me take standby since I heard Echolink go off. And maybe Ken out there wants to say something. So everybody stand by. We'll see if there's an Echolink response first, and then we'll go to the others.
And to VHC with a comment. Thank you. Back to Ned.
Okay, Ken, go ahead.
Hey, okay, I switched. I went from one Bale Fang radio to another, okay? Just to let you know, my audio might have changed a little. Okay, here in Alliance, Nebraska, I run a, one of my radios is a FT-1200 from Daisu, the newer one, and it has an auto tuner on it called the LDG Electronics FT-1200 tuner, or YT-1200 tuner. And yes, it interfaces to the radio. I think they call that radio-specific tuner because it's designed to go into a port in the back of the radio that supplies power. And I don't need to use the internal tuner, but the tune button on the radio with this specific model, radio and tuner, if you hit the tune button on the face of the radio, it will not automatically trigger the auto tuner to begin cycling a tune cycle. You have to actually reach over and press the tune button on the front of the physical cabinet of the LDG outboard auto tuner. So, some of them are a little bit more advanced, and I would research that before I purchase one that goes, you know, completely through the radio, where you do not have to touch the auto tuner. You can actually set it up remotely somewhere. And some of them derive power from external power supplies also. So, in other words, they all have their own little quirks, and it's nice to find them out before you buy them. And the external ones that are completely radio generic, you know, they go on anything, would be a trade-off in some regards, but also a plus, because on some of those, because they're not radio-specific, they can be used anywhere you want to put them, temporarily or permanently. And as I had just stated, my so-called radio-specific tuner still needs hands on it, so, you know, that's how that goes. So I just wanted to add that comment, and forget manual tuners, we're in the day of automatic. So this one tunes, you know, 10 to 1 ratio down to, you know, it runs beautifully. And my manual tuner was way too touchy. So I went over to auto and just let the science do the work. Back to Ned.
Thank you, Ken. This is K2EIR. I agree with everything you said. I have my own comment, but let's see what else we can get for Rich. Anybody else want to make a comment for Rich to answer question number two? This is K2EIR.
KD2FTA with a comment for Rich.
Roger, Alex. Go ahead.
Yes, I have an FT450D Yaesu. And attached to it, I have an auto tuner that LDG makes specifically for that radio, which they call the YT450. And just like the previous comment, the circuitry inside of the FT450D is designed, it's got its own auto tuner. It'll tune 3 to 1
But anything above an SWR of 3-1, it will not tune. And subsequently, I have a NFED wire just going up into up to a pole as a sloper. I could never get the internal tuner on the FT450D to work, so I bought the LDG unit, and it does it all. It makes a racket as it goes through a couple of hundred iterations on some frequencies. The antenna I purchased was not designed to work on 160, but lo and behold, the LDG will tune it, and it makes the radio happy. And basically, what you're doing is you're protecting the radio. You're never going to get the efficiency you need out of the antenna. However, you will be able to work bands that otherwise you wouldn't be able to do just with the internal auto tuner on the radio. Go with the automatic tuners. Don't waste your time with the manuals. And that's just my humble opinion. But just like the other gentleman said, it's all done through the tuner itself. You push a button, it does its thing. It starts to memorize frequencies, so after a while, it'll be able to tune up quickly, but if you're on a band for the first time, it will take a while, sometimes as long as 15 to 20 seconds to get the antenna, or the rig and the antenna working together. Again, it's just to make the rig happy. Your antenna is not going to resonate, or it's not going to operate, I should say, at peak efficiency. KD2FTA, hopefully that added some insight. KD2FTA, back to net control.
Very good, Alex. Okay, let me just take a standby. Just everyone stand by. Okay, we reset everything. This is the Barra Chestnut Ridge Technical Net. Any other comments for on this topic for Rich? Go ahead. Give me a call. Throw out your call letters.
W2JEK with a comment.
Okay, go ahead, Don.
I remember a couple of years ago, Barra was having a field day, and we had some automatic antenna tuners. It's five stations on the air in close proximity to each other. A ref from the one station was getting into one of the other radios that was trying to get antenna with a sensing the RF from the other station. So driving the automatic tuner nuts, gave up on that. But so keep in mind, proximity to a manual tuner would be the answer unless you're using an antenna that does not need a tuner at all. Back to net, W2JEK.
Roger, Don. Okay. Any other comments from anyone?
I think I doubled with that control. This is N2VHZ.
You didn't double. I was waiting to see if you had something. You want to? Do you have another comment, Ken?
Oh, yeah, I've always got something to say, you know. Out here, nobody to talk to, man. Only you guys. Hey, the thing with the outboard tuners that are automatic, and I'm going to go back to the gentleman's original question. What's the difference between it? What do we think the difference is? The only reason I bought the radio-specific external tuner was because I had bought another HF radio years ago and neglected to buy all the ancillary devices such as the desk microphone, the extension speaker, the external tuner. And as time went on, I found it impossible, or the price of those ancillary devices, external devices, peripheral devices, whatever you want to call them, they skyrocketed. As the time of the radio became more vintage, the peripheral devices became more expensive. So I said, the next time I buy a big HF radio for home use, it's going to come with everything. So this one, I bought the speaker, the desk mic, the radio, the external tuner. Now, going back to his original question, with that all said and done, if I did not do that, I would have bought a radio generic auto tuner for two reasons. One being that it takes external power from a 12-volt power supply, not from the radio, therefore making it more convenient to run off of a battery or so forth and so on. And I would have bought it
I would have purchased that the radio generic one because they have displays on them showing in one regard or another the SWR and the power out, and it even some of them even have antenna switches built into them for one or two antennas. So in my opinion, for a few dollars more, you know, you get more value for your money with a radio generic one as opposed to a radio specific one. The radio specific ones are normally just a black box with one button and with one LED that you have to decipher the code that it sends you, 1, 2, 3, or 4 blinks, whereas the generic ones have a full-blown display and can go on any radio, actually. And, you know, like I said, the value for the money, I feel that the radio generic ones are better, but in my particular situation, I bought everything, including the bells and whistles, to go with this radio. Back to net.
Roger, Ken. Thank you for that. We haven't finished this topic yet, and I know we have some other comments and other questions as well, but I think we should finish this before we leave it. Anybody else with comments on the tuner question? Nothing heard, so I will put in my 2 cents. My 2 cents is, one thing I would like to point out to you, Rich, is if you buy an external tuner, auto tuner, even one that's made, quote, for the rig. For example, I have a Yaesu 857D here, and the YT100, which Ken mentioned, was sold specifically for this rig and one or two others. And one disappointment is that LDG pretty much makes one size box, or just a couple of size boxes. So they don't match. You can't put the 857 down on top of it or the vice versa without scratching or problems that way. They don't really mate. So even though, you know, electrically they're meant for each other, I find it convenient to press just one button and have it tune up, but I frequently am changing antennas, so the memories don't help me and the tune-up is long. Whereas with a manual tuner, I could put on an antenna analyzer and tune up off the air completely. Of course, it took a lot more time, and it would be, then be ready on that frequency. With the auto tuner, it may take a few more moments, but I have to tune up on the air, which means if I'm listening to a QSO and I need to tune up to be able to break in, I have to go to another frequency that's nearby and hope it's empty and tune up there before coming back to the QSO. So these are some factors. I think if I had it to do over again, I'd buy, as Ken says, a generic auto tuner. That way it would go with any rig. I don't have to sell it, the tuner, when I sell the rig. But that's my opinion. And again, there are pros and cons. Rich, I'm going to turn it back to you to see if you have any final comments, and then we'll try to move on to the net. AC2GI from K2EIR.
2EIR, AC2GI. I thank everybody for their comments, and I'm leaning one way simply because of the deal that they're running right now, but I was just curious. I know when I put a question like that out, it's, you know, like if you, what should you buy, a Ford or a Chevy? Everybody has their opinion, but I do appreciate everybody's comments. And I'll get back to that. AC2GI.
Very good, Rich. Thank you. Okay, folks. I want to go, I know there are still people with comments and questions and that they listed somewhat earlier, and I forgot to put check marks by the ones we've done already, but Gene KC2WDZ was in last week. He listed a question, and we had such a long discussion and such a long net last week that we never really got to Gene, so I want to put Gene ahead. I feel I owe it to him. So Gene KC2WDZ, let's have your question. This is
K2EIR. K2EIR, this is KC2WDZ. Well, as for last week, and thank you for that. Sorry, I had to cut out early. I got a call from work, and I was kind of close to work, so usually the guy when a crisis arrives, the guy is at work. So I had to leave early, and I didn't want to interrupt you. But I do have a comment for the station out there. That was the IBM Lenovo ThinkPad. I have one right in front of me. I know it uses 20 volts DC, obviously, on it. And I have an automobile adapter made for that Lenovo. And I'm reading the data plate on it. It's input of 12-16 volts DC. And the output is 20 volt DC, 4.5 amps. Says it's designed for use with the IBM ThinkPad and Lenovo. Made by Lind Electronics website, lindelectronics.com. That's L-I-N-D. So that was it. And as for the comment or the question last week, really it wasn't so much a technical question last week. It was more of about clubs and whatnot. But I don't remember exactly what I was asking. Wanted to ask, but I did find the club, Bailon Amateur Radio Club, and I went down Friday, and hopefully work permitting, I get tomorrow and send in my applications and be able. But thanks a lot for taking this is KC2WDC.
Very good, Gene. Okay. Well, I'm glad that worked out for you. Again, I we all owe a debt of gratitude to the clubs. It helps keep the net going. We are fortunate, I think, that in this area we have a number of very good clubs and lots of very good operators, helpful hands, wonderful phrase, helpful hands. Okay, if I am correct, the one person I didn't get to tonight who did a list was Lewis KD2FIG. With a comment, so we'll go to his comment, and then I'll make sure that we've answered everyone who is on the net and any newcomers. So, Lewis, KD2FIG, you've got the soapbox. This is K2EIR and the Barrett Technical Net and the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net.
Roger that. Kilo Delta 2, Fox in the Gulf and Carteret, New Jersey. Just wanted to let people on the net know if they wanted to participate aerial ham radio little expedition I'm doing on the 10th and the 11th of this month, which hardly anything we're doing. They can email me at kd@gmail.com, and I'll send them frequencies where we're going to be at. Planning on doing a one-day trip, flying over to Mount Pocono and setting up their HF, and then flying backwards. Not backwards, but flying back to MMU. In both ways, we're going to do contacts in the air. It's going to be aerials. It's going to be real nice. So, kd2fig@gmail.com. Thank you, Net Control, for allowing me to spread the comments and news. Back at you.
Very good, Lewis. And Lewis's call is Kilowatt Delta 2 Foxtrot India Golf, AD2FIG. Very good. Okay, if I am correct, I have covered all the questions, comments, and announcements. If there's anybody who wishes to list one or I've forgotten, please call me now or any new check-ins for the Barra Chestnut Ridge TechNet. This is K2EIR.
W2JEK. Comment.
Okay, Don, stand by a moment. Anyone else? Nothing heard. Okay, go ahead, Don.
And looking in the March issue of the Barra Bulletin, there is a general class test licensing training in Wayne, New Jersey. Starts on March 23rd, goes through April 27th, 45 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. Standard time, but that's daylight time now. There's accessions from 3:23, 3:30, 4:16, 4:20, 4:27. Instructor is NU2E, Wayne Municipal Building, 475 Valley Road, Wayne, New Jersey. From for two. Training fee is $15, except for full-time students who get it free. Pre-registered required. Wayne, New Jersey Amateur Radio Club sponsoring it. And Kieran Desopta at U2E is the contact person. His email is kdaphoneticallyKilo Delta Alpha Sierra Golf Uncle Papa Tango Alpha at optonline.net. And pre-study required, no. This is in the Barra Bulletin for March. If you go down the website, you can put one up on page 6. Back to that W2JK.
Thank you, Don. That was very thorough. And we'll just call the attention to all our listeners. If you need a licensing class, if you want to learn what you need to know to pass the test, here's an opportunity. It's more convenient for some people in Jersey. If you're in New York, it may be a little bit of a drive, but you know, you have various options. Many of us remember having, well, in most parts of the country, before volunteer exams, you had to travel a great deal to go and take your test. But hopefully you didn't have to go as far as learning, although there weren't as many classes. So we, again, thank all the clubs, Barra in particular, for this, for holding classes so people who want to get a license can. So if you're just a listener and you want to participate, if you've had that urge to just make a comment and say something to us and you feel, oh, gee, I really want to talk to you, the license makes it possible, and it's very possible to get a license. Okay, at this point, it looks like we've exhausted everything, and we've gone about 1 hour. So I want to thank all of you for showing up. I want to thank all of you for helping everyone else. It's a community. It works. And I invite you back next week. At same time, same channel. So unless there's some other business, and I will take a standby for it, I'm going to say 73 and close the net. So this is the last standby. Anyone with wanting to raise any issues with the Barra Chestnut Ridge TechNet, please call me, K2EIR. Since EchoLink just went off, let me take a further standby, especially for Ken or anyone else on EchoLink.
JEK with a question.
Hey, stand by a moment, Don. Anyone on EchoLink?
No, I just wanted to remind anybody to email me at kd2yg@gmail.com for that area exposition. I'm looking, I need one tech general or extra. It doesn't matter, you can be a tech general or extra, like someone to participate on some of the events. We're going to try to do it weekly, but if anybody wants to participate, a ham that can make contacts from in the air, from in the cockpit, you know, back seat or front seat, you know, send me an email at kd2fig@gmail.com, or if you're willing to make contact with us while we're in the air on the FM to land at the Poconos and on the 7 megahertz and 15 megahertz HF, and then back again on 2 meters, kdfig@gmail.com. All right, thank you very much, Ben Contreras. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Lewis. kd2fig@gmail.com. And Lewis, if you stand by after the net, I'm going to tell you a place you might be able to post details and be able to possibly get the volunteer you're looking for. So stand by after the net. Let's see. Don, J-E-K, go ahead.
Steve, WI2W, are you still out there? Anybody from Barra, Tony, out there? K2AMI.
K2AMI is here. Go ahead.
Are you aware of any Rachel running any classes? I thought I heard something about that. Over.
Don't think it's planned yet. It's tentative, as far as I know. I don't know the timing on that.
Okay, I knew something was in the wind there. Okay, well, we'll be able to. I don't know anything about it here. I was sort of wondering, but I guess you'll hear more about it in the future. Anyway, back to net. I think that's all I have for now, Howie. And as far as one thing, look up classes on the ARRL's website. they do have a place there for them. And that's probably the best way, probably miles or whatever. The ARRL's website is the best to go. Back to that, W2JK in 73 Stall.
Okay, very good, Don. For everybody, again, since we may have listeners who can't transmit, you know, scanners and whatever,